Chicago that just broke within the last 24 hours, there is a possibility that three-time Stanley Cup winner and assistant captain, Norris Trophy winner, and top blue liner of the Chicago Blackhawks could be on the market. His name's Duncan Keith. If you don't know him, you should. I know you know him, Adam. What do you think about the possibility? First of all, he has a full no-trade clause, so he only goes where he wants to go. But let's say he wants to come over to Vegas. Do you think that's something Vegas would be interested in, and how do you see him fitting in with this team?
I'm surprised you're able to contain your excitement at the idea of Duncan Keith potentially coming to the Vegas Golden Knights. It's pretty big there, man.
Well, let me say this. I'm not that excited because the only truly authentic Blackhawks jersey that I own that I spent $300 on is a Duncan Keith jersey from like 12 years ago. So there's a silver lining there, but selfishly, I'd like to keep that jersey relevant. I guess I could wear it at the stadium, but that'd be weird.
I don't think that'd be weird at all. No? You're basically saying, like, look, I've got both sides covered here, right? I've got the player and the team. Yeah. It shows that I'm not just a fan of laundry, although I do like my $300 laundry. Yeah. My problem with Duncan Keith is not that he's a defenseman, because I actually do think that's exactly what the Vegas Golden Knights need to be focusing on. They need blue line help. They need to go deeper on this blue line. My only concern about Duncan Keith comes down to two numbers, 35 mm-hmm. and 4. 35 years old, and there are 4 years left on that contract, and George McPhee has been deft at not taking on any sort of excessive long-term deals that he doesn't have to, so I don't know that the Golden Knights are in such win-now mode that you're going to commit to another few years of what Duncan Keith's going to cost you on the cap, so he wouldn't be my first choice on the blue line just because of that.
All right, guys, sit tight. We'll get some updates throughout the game as this show moves along, but we're going to head back down to Atlanta in a couple of minutes as on the road for KLAS, our CBS affiliate in town. Kevin E. Martin will tell us what's going on in the ATL, and then a little bit after that, we're going to talk to a Patriots Super Bowl winner from that first era, a guy who actually came out of retirement to help the Patriots win a Super Bowl, as Brian Kinchin's going to join us. Big 4 o'clock hour on the way.
It's Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield.
Well, I have a microphone and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
Adam Candy.
You can trouble me for a warm glass of shut the hell up. Now you will go to sleep or I will put you to sleep.
And Ryan McKinnell.
You know, my man got too familiar. Man, you know, because, you know, he would step across the line. Habitually. He's a habitual line stepper.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
Fun show today. Over the course of the first hour, we're going to head down to Atlanta a few more times, get some other football experts on throughout the show. Two more hours on the way. Adam Candy's hanging out at Hooters. I am actually, and we're talking about Hooters Casino at the William Hill Racing Sportsbook. I'm actually in Utah, and Ryan McKinnell is in studio. We have to add a fourth location here in just one second, but want to remind you, they've got a pregame party going on down at Hooters. And Super Bowl party, you take care of that. But they got the pregame party, Underground Lounge, passing out some Hooters swag. That's tomorrow. Drink vouchers, $10 buckets of Bud Light, and Mick Ultra, which, come on, right there near the strip, $10 buckets. That's completely crazy. And dollar margaritas. That's all going down tomorrow, 4 to 6 at the newly renamed Underground Lounge. That's at Hooters Casino right there at the William Hill Race and Sportsbook. So we go to a fourth location to set a record, and Kevin E. Martin is on the road from KLAS. She's in Atlanta. Kevin E., how you doing?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Whole lot's up. Super Bowl's coming up this weekend. You know that. You got down to Atlanta when?
Saturday night. So we've been here almost an entire week.
Okay. And what's the best thing you've covered so far or you've been to so far?
Man, I mean, I think the best, like, craziest would have to be Media Day every single year. Like, I covered Super Bowl 51 in Houston, so I thought I knew what I was getting into. Like, 1 year in my, you know, experience, I'm ready to go. Media Day's known as a circus, and yeah, I found out pretty quickly that you're never prepared for Media Day. It's hard to explain to someone if they're not there. It's just one of those things where I mean, anything really goes. And as the years progress, you just see more and more crazy things, and you're running around trying. It's crazy. So I have to say media day for sure.
All right, my broadcast partner, Kevin E. Martin. Let's talk about, a little bit about you personally here for a second, because I have to figure that while the AFC Championship game was going on, that you, as a PA native who bleeds golden black, had to be pulling for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs to pull that game out, because there's no way you want to be down there spending a week with Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. How have you managed that?
It's been tough. Like I said, I covered Super Bowl 51, and that was the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history, which, of course, was led by Tom Brady, and I had to witness that live, and it was soul-crushing. And I literally, like you said, I don't think I've ever cheered for a team harder that wasn't the Pittsburgh Steelers than I did in the AFC Championship, the Kansas City Chiefs, and Patrick Mahomes. I'm going crazy.
Oh, I'm sure you were. I believe it, because, you know, if it had been the same situation for me, I would have been Patrick Mahomes' number one fan. I'd have bought the jersey mid-game. All right, so now let's talk about what the vibe is down there, because, you know, the line's pretty close on this game. No one seems to have a real feel whether Rams or Patriots are that strong a favorite. So what's the vibe you get from the teams down there? Who's relaxed? Who's nervous? Who's ready for this game?
At media day, I mean, it was hard to tell because it's media day, so both teams were pretty jovial and relaxed and having fun. But as the week's gone on, I mean, the Patriots have been there, done that. I mean, third straight, four out of the last five, they've been here before. So they've definitely, you know, come off as the more relaxed team. The Rams, obviously, a lot younger, a lot more inexperienced as far as Super Bowl games, and that's basically how it's played out this week.
Kevin, let me ask you a question. I saw a post from our colleague here, one half of the press box on the morning show, Ed Graney. He mentioned something about Chick-fil-A being brought into the media room today. If that were me, I might have fainted. I've never heard of such a great media spread. That's all I really care about as a media member. Did you get as excited, or am I just a mark?
I'm a big fan of Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
You do know they have a Chick-fil-A in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, right?
Yeah, but I heard it's not going to be open on Sunday because, or at the Super Bowl, because it's Sunday.
Exactly.
That's a crime.
And they have, they actually have a chicken sandwich. It's called Closed on Sunday Chicken Sandwich that we taste tested that they'll have in the stadium for fans, and it doesn't do it justice. It's tough, man. Because I'm a big Chick-fil-A fan.
I can't imagine what it must be like to walk by a Chick-fil-A. Like, I've woken up on plenty of Sundays, driven to Chick-fil-A, and realized, oh, God, I'm an idiot. It's Sunday. It's closed. But to be at the Super Bowl, to pay those prices, and then to just see a closed Chick-fil-A window, it would break my heart. I guess the flip side is, Kevin, I saw that they're selling $5 beers, and all I could think about is they're selling $5 beers at the Super Bowl, but they were $16 at the Stanley Cup here in Las Vegas when the Knights made it. What is that about?
Exactly, but
right?
That's the thing here in Atlanta. They do that regular season. It's called fan first pricing, and they're honoring that for the Super Bowl. So they have $2 beers, $5 nachos, $4 popcorn. It's literally you can get an entire spread for under $10. It is awesome. So they have it's the pricing, the food pricing. They've held true to that. And they said they weren't going to change that for the Super Bowl. So fans are paying, what, upwards of $2,500 to get in and buying a $2 hot dog?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, you have to take a second mortgage out on your house to get the ticket. So once you get in there, that's all you have left. I mean, I feel like you and your family are going to be pulling together on those $5 nachos and be like, well, that's it. That's all we can afford
tonight.
Yeah, but
Adam, at least it's one game, and it's not three Stanley Cup games. It's just one game. So if you pay $2,500, yeah, it's an expensive ticket, but it ain't three games. And, God, I mean, you might spend $2,500 on beer tonight, Stanley Cup game.
I feel like we hit a nerve. Did we hit a nerve here?
$2,500 on beer?
You're
not a healthy man.
I might have exaggerated, but here's the thing. I don't even drink. It's the principle of the thing, guys.
All right, fair enough. Let's get back to Kevin E. down in Atlanta here. Kevin E. Martin from 8 News Now joining us here on the broadcast. impressions of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, because everything that we read about this stadium, everything we see in the pictures and the video makes it sound absolutely unbelievable. And of course, here in Vegas, we're getting ready for a brand new stadium opening in about a year and a half.
Yeah, it lives up to the hype. It's absolutely gorgeous. Even from the outside, our live shot location outside is located directly outside of the stadium. And it is, even from the outside looking in, it is a sight to see. And it's one of the most gorgeous stadiums I've ever been in, ever.
Well, we hear that state-of-the-art is what they went for with everything, that video board, right? Like the Halo yeah. video board up top is supposed to be the best of the best. All right, so we're getting down to brass tacks here, Kevin. You've had a whole week with these teams. You've done everything you can to sabotage Tom Brady. You've poisoned his water. You've tried to feed him as many of those $2 hot dogs as you can to see what you can do to take care of Tom Brady. You spent some time around the dreamy Sean McVay and Jared Goff and the whole Rams ecosystem. What do you got in this game?
As a Steelers fan, I hate to say it, but Tom Brady is going to win his sixth Super Bowl ring. It's going to be a high-scoring affair. I predict a 37-30 final. I think the Rams will have the halftime lead, but Tom Brady and the experienced Patriots will pull it out in the second half, as they've done so many times. And we're all just going to be sitting there watching Tom Brady hoisting. You can tell how excited I am right now saying this, right?
Oh, yeah, thrilled.
But, yeah, I have the Patriots 37-30 over the Rams.
All right, Kevin, we know you got to get back to regular work. So you got a bunch of live shots coming up today?
We actually work the morning shift, so it's crazy. We're up at 3:30 in the morning.
Whoa.
We go live from 6 to 10 East Coast time. Then we get off air and we go out and do all of our stories and shoot and do all the interviews, that type of stuff during the afternoon, daytime. Then we're editing for tomorrow morning. So, yeah, it's a grind. It's a little sleep. It's very cold in Atlanta right now at 4 a.m. outside of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But we're getting by. We're having a blast. We're covering the Super Bowl.
Hi, Kevin. We appreciate a couple minutes. We'll see you.
Thank you. Bye.
There you go. Kevin E. Martin, rising star, 8 News Now, also a partner with Adam Candy, often on the Lady Rebels broadcast. We'll come back. We're going to talk to former Patriots Super Bowl champion. He's a guy who snapped the ball before one of the many winning kicks over the years. God, they always come up with a big kick, the Patriots do, as Brian Kinchin will be joining us in just a couple.
Hit up Cofield & Company on Facebook, like ESPN Las Vegas.
Touch this. Can't touch this.
It's Cofield & Company.
Brady going to the end zone. Open is Dorsett for the touchdown.
Rolling towards the halfway point of the show, it's Cofield and Company manning the set over at Hooters. William Hill Racing Sportsbooks, Adam Candy, McKinnell, Cofield, Chrissy. Busy, busy show today. We wanted to bring in a Super Bowl champ to give us more on the Patriots side as we get ready for the game on Sunday. And Brian Kinchin certainly has some memories of the Patriots going back to Super Bowl 38. Gives us a couple minutes here on this Friday. What's up?
Oh, man, not much. Just excited about what's coming up Sunday and hoping hard for the Patriots and Tom to be able to pull off another one.
Tom. Everyone has a different – anyone who's close to Tom Brady has a different – it's Tom or it's Tommy. Brian, does he maintain relationships with, like, most of the former players or for – like, I don't know, in your case, like, can you just text him and he answers right back? What is he like to get in touch with?
No, not really. I mean, when I was with the Patriots, I was only there a brief period. I was there 5 games, 7 weeks total. And Tom was super, super nice, super good guy, and really enjoyed being around him. He was even in his third year, he just had a presence about him. And so we weren't like the closest of buds, but I kind of think of him that way, even though, you know, it's been 15 years since we were together. But
yeah.
He's just a good guy. He's a good guy. I always tell the story about him that anybody would want him to be their son, their friend, their brother. He's just the kind of teammate that you dream about. And with the talent he has, he brings such an unbelievable element to that team. It's been a difference in the last 18, 19 years he's been doing it.
Well, let's tell the Vegas audience your story, because you mentioned you were there a short time. You get called up towards the end of the season, and they're like, hey, we want you to come back out of retirement. And this is, you know, you can explain your role and how this all came together. If you screw this up in the biggest moment at the end of the game, your guys whose name lives in infamy. But tell everyone the story and, you know, how it started and how it finished.
Well, I was out of the league for 3 years almost. I had played my last season in 2000, and I had moved on to other things. I was teaching a Bible class at a local school back in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Scott Pioli called me in week 15 of the NFL season. They had two games left, and they said two long snappers had gotten hurt, their main snapper the week earlier, and then the one they brought in to replace him that same week. And so they needed somebody to come in and finish off the job. You know, I had played 13 years as a tight end, and I long snapped on punts and field goals, and I was 5 years with Belichick in Cleveland, so they had a good knowledge of me and Scott as well. Scott was in Cleveland with us also, so they brought me in and tried me out with three other guys to finish the season. And right when I was talking to Bill and Scott before they told me they were going to sign me, I said, well, whoever you sign, he could possibly have y'all's entire season in his hands at some point. And he said, well, that guy's going to be you. Coming from Belichick. And so as fate would have it, as God would have it, that Super Bowl came down to a snap to be able to get it back to prevent Terry to hit the kick, and obviously Adam was able to do that. But it was a tough go for me. I was texting my boys today, because today's the 15th anniversary of our game back in February 1, 2004, and we were reminiscing about it, and I said it was my best worst game ever. And I say that because, I mean, I had thrown bad snaps before. I'd thrown a high snap once, and I had thrown one that maybe was trapped, but I'd never bounced two balls in a game ever in my life. And I had bounced a punt snap, I had bounced an extra point snap, and so I was on pins and needles to that game and praying to God that it wouldn't come down to a field goal. And sure enough, you know, 9 seconds on the clock, we're running out on the field, 29-29, to kick a field goal. And I just couldn't believe that this was going to be a reality. And I had thrown some bad snaps in practice all that week. I had thrown high snaps that the holder, Kenny, couldn't even put his hands on. And so you can imagine in that scenario, that 29-29 game with 9 seconds on the clock, and you airmail one and somebody from Carolina picks it up on the hop and scores, I mean, that would devastate anyone. And so obviously when I was praying, my prayer to God was that, you know, whatever your will is, I just pray that I'll be able to live through it, and hoping and begging and asking that it would be a successful snap. And, you know, God delivered me from that moment, and the ball got right back to Kenny, laces were perfect, and Adam hit the kick. And I went from the most unbelievable depths of despair and anxiety and stress to one of the most exhilarating, incredible moments of my life, to realize that we were going to win that game and I was going to be a world champion after 14 years in the NFL. And I get to walk out on the last play of the game, the last play of my career, as one of the great moments in NFL history, to be able to pull that off.
Here with Brian Kinchin. Brian, you talk about that night very clearly. Obviously, it was a huge moment in your life, it goes without saying. But you brought up something really interesting. Your time obviously spent with Bill Belichick, it goes back to Cleveland, it transitions over to New England. Tell us something about Belichick that might surprise us, because as you can probably guess, Brian, he represents so many to us. Well, you know, only what we see on television, the stoic, the hood. That's what he is.
Yeah, and every time people ask, I tell them, you know, most people, you know, you see them, you talk to them, you have conversations with them, and you just kind of get along. And I said, that's what Bill's like outside of what he does. He's just a very normal guy. He's got a great sense of humor. He's a very friendly guy. He's very kind. He's a very generous guy. I mean, and you just don't see that. Now, granted, for me as a player, it took me a while to understand that, to see that. The only reason I somehow got a glimpse behind the curtain is that my wife used to be the head of the wives association in Cleveland. So she was constantly in the office, and she would come home and talk about how her conversations with Bill and this and that. And I'm like, what are you talking about, conversations? She says, oh yeah, we talk all the time. And so I began to like wonder, can that really be true that Bill is actually like that? And so, you know, and I picked my moments where I had conversations with him, and even especially when I came back to New England that time, where we had been apart for about 8 years or so. You know, Bill's just a normal guy. You know, the people see the 20-minute snippets they put on ESPN, you know, where he's upset with some question, and they think that's who he is. It's the same with Nick Saban. There's no difference between the two. You know, they're asked to be able to stand in front of reporters every day or every week and have to answer questions that they really don't want to answer. And I understand that, especially for him, after how long he's been doing it. It just gets aggravating. And so that's all people see, but they don't understand that he's just a normal guy. That you, if you didn't know his name, you would not even think any different of him than anybody else. He's just normal. And that's the most unusual thing that people don't know about him, is that he's just a guy. And he does a job, and he does it very intensely and with a lot of sometimes anger and spite, because I mean he made me who I was as a player in the NFL. I mean, I played for Don Shula for 3 years, and he would never give me a chance to walk on the field as a tight end. And I sat there for 2 years with Bill in Cleveland before he actually gave me the starting job, my fifth year in the NFL. You know, so Bill, I call him my NFL stepfather. He let me do something that no other coach would do. He brought me back and let me be a part of a world championship. And I owe him a lot. I tell people all the time, I love that man. He is, you know, without him, I wouldn't have had a career that I had in the NFL, because I got cut for the first time when I was in Green Bay, and he brought me to Cleveland and resurrected me and gave me a chance to be able to go out and fulfill my dream of being a tight end and being able to be a contributor offensively on that team and teams to come.
Here with former Patriot, former Cleveland Brown, Brian Kitchen. Brian, let me ask you this. There's been a lot of talk about Tom Brady, obviously, you know, playing into his later years. This is a very simple question, but it's also, I guess, a little difficult, especially if you know the parties involved. Is Bill Belichick as successful? Not is he? Does he win two Super Bowls without Tom Brady? And flip side, does Tom Brady win two Super Bowls without a Bill Belichick?
Well, anybody can tell you. You look through the history of time, and then the Hall of Fame coaches and Hall of Fame quarterbacks, they all went hand in hand. There was not a great coach without a great quarterback behind center. That's just the way it is. And obviously, I told this story the other day, you know, coaches can't go out on the field, and they can't take a snap. They can't play a play. They can't do anything other than coach. And so those guys that get behind center and those guys that have to make the calls and make the adjustments and make the throws, you know, I tend to believe that's the one who really gets a little bit more of the credit. And I've always said, I don't ever want to take anything away from Robert Kraft, who's the owner of that team, who I Right. think is one of the most fantastic individuals I've ever met, and wanted to play for him the day I met him, and was so thankful I was able to at the end of my career. And Bill, and as I just got to be talking about, I love Bill. I owe him my career. And so I never want to take anything away from what he does, but all I will tell you and all I'll say is that I had been around a lot of quarterbacks in my career, from Dan Marino, you know, all the way through Tom Brady. I mean, two guys that, you know, two great bookends in my career, but a lot of them in between, and very few of them have anything close to what Tom has. And I'm not just talking about talent. I'm talking about the ability to be able to inspire his teammates to be better every day when they walk into the facility. And it's not things he says. He's not a rah-rah guy all the time, even though he does, but he just inspires because he, just like Robert Kraft, had to earn everything he has. And because of that, he has a workmanlike mentality, and he shows up every day. He doesn't take days off. He's just like you, and he demands everything out of you just as he does. And to me, that's what makes him so unique and so special, because he is so talented And he has the ability in every moment that he's been ever given. If you look, he's never failed in any of those opportunities, which is so rare. But also to be able to inspire others around him to that greatness and to that desire to understand and to want to be a part of that team element that is so very missed and so very hard to capture in the NFL. Even in college, it's hard to continue that team mentality. But the NFL is even worse because it's a group of individuals who are together, but everyone's trying to keep their own job, and that's what they're concerned about. They're not concerned about the guy next to him or about winning games. It's all about keeping my job, making the check, getting the cash, and that's it. But Tom requires you to be more than that, to be way more than that. And that whole atmosphere from the day that I walked in there, him and Teddy Bruschi, and the whole mentality of that organization, which I believe is not solely, but is largely due because of the way that guy goes to work every day. Because anybody will tell you who's ever played, the defense feeds off the momentum of the offense, and the offense feeds off of the leadership of the guy behind center. And so no matter who it is, you're automatically thrust into that role of a leader. And Tom obviously takes it to the nth degree, unlike anybody's ever been able to do that. And that's what makes them so unique. That's what makes them so special. And he's not just a once-in-a-lifetime guy. He's a once-in-a-forever player that we'll never see again.
Brian Kinchin, longtime NFL vet. So I gather you enjoyed your time with Tom Brady.
Needless to say, if there's anybody that cheers harder for the Patriots and for Brady on Sundays, you'd be hard to find it, because I just like Tiger Woods in his heyday, I wanted to see the greatest get greater. And so I want Tom, as great as he is, I want him to be greater, because I think he's so unique. And obviously because of my brief moments with him, and to be able to see who he really was and who he really is, which makes me have so much affection for him because of the way that he plays. Because I was one of those guys too. I wasn't fast. I wasn't heavily recruited out of college. I was a 12th round draft pick. Nobody thought I was going to make it a day, much less the 14 that I ended up playing. So I gravitate towards that. I am a kinship with him in that same mode. Now, obviously, he's on a much greater level than I ever was able to achieve, but it's the same. We both are the same person who are still in our lives trying to prove ourselves worthy to others, and he's able to do it through his career, and been able to do it so much longer than I was even able to do it. And I had a long career, and he's just going forever and doesn't seem to be slowing down. And the funny thing is most of the time when guys get that age, people start talking about it. But a guy like him, with the success that he's had and the momentum that he's still carrying through his career, no one even thinks about it. No one even considers it, because he's been able to be so good at what he does. And it's just an amazing thing to be able to witness, and to be able to, even though my time with him was brief, I still, like I said, I feel a connection and a kinship with him and that organization every time they tee it up on Sunday.
Brian, great spot, man. We really appreciate the time, and have fun watching the game.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me on. You all have a great weekend.
There you go. Brian Kinchin, longtime NFL player, 14 years. In the 14th year, he came back after being away for 2-3 years, and then was a long snapper and was the guy delivering the ball for the winning field goal in Super Bowl 38. Pretty amazing story there. All right, we're going to take care of some business here. Want to remind you, too, tomorrow, 3 to 5, Chrissy is on the scene, Green Valley Ranch, Pizza Rock, right? Our favorite pizza place over in Henderson, Green Valley Ranch, Pizza Rock, 3 to 5. Chrissy will have prizes. You show up during the Vegas Golden Knights game. They're going to be playing Florida tomorrow. You got your gear on. As long as you buy something, you got your gear on, they'll give you your first beer for free. But go check out Pizza Rock, Green Valley Ranch, in the game tomorrow. Chrissy will be there from 3 to 5. Let's get into what's going to happen from the gambling side. We're going to make more of these prop bets in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to go behind the counter next with Tony Miller from the Golden Nugget.
You're 90 seconds away from more Cofield and Company, right here on ESPN Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Swagger Men's Grooming.
I'm going to kill your bookmaker. I'm going to rip his throat out. I will step on his throat until the man chokes. Let me tell you how. Winners, 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 winners. Free, 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 free.
All right, back here on Cofield and Company. That's not a very nice greeting for Tony Miller. Golden Nugget. Tony's up on this Friday before the Super Bowl. What's going on, Tone?
Ah, buddy. Crazy down here, man.
I was going to say, is your head spinning right now? I'm so glad you could give us, like, 8 minutes. But how nuts does it get, you know, about now? Because is it true that roughly, what, like, at least three-quarters of the handle comes in from here forward, right?
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Friday afternoon. It started probably, like, I don't know, 3 hours ago or so. And it's been nonstop. You know, there's lines out the door, and they're coming in, man. They're down here by the droves. So we expect it. We knew it was coming, and the storm's here, and trying to get through it, man. It's crazy.
Okay, what are you seeing right now from because now we're talking volume betting, right? I mean, you're still going to have some big money players come in, but with the volume betting, are we starting to see a lot more Rams action where it's, you know, maybe getting at some point close to balancing out?
Yeah, for sure. You know, up until today, we were at minus three even money on the Patriots for a long time, and I was begging for Rams money, and I knew it would probably come starting today, and sure it did, man. I took a $200,000 bet on the Rams earlier, and you know, and but you know what? Now that we've gone back to 2.5 flat, it's coming right back to New England. So I've taken a few $50,000 bets, quite a few $20,000 bets, and going back and forth right now, but I would say right now the ticket count is still largely New England.
So gut feeling on Super Bowl Sunday, where is the number going to finish?
I think I'm going to say it stays right at 2.5, Steve. If it goes to 3, I think they scoop it right back up and it goes back to 2.5. So most of the money is going to be at 2.5. See some 2.5 minus $1.20s out there.
Tony, we know Super Bowl's prop time. We know that it's always fun for you guys to come up with what's going to be on the board, what's going to draw people in. What are you seeing in terms of the props right now? Anything that people are really getting excited about?
You know, they're all over the place with the props. We got over 400 props up on the board, and I can tell you, you know, a lot of sharp play. You see a lot of limit plays by the sharps. The public's betting all over the place. But all the sharp money right now, I can tell you, they're betting all the unders in the C.J. Anderson props. They're betting all the unders in the white running back props, and just all over the place, though. But it's really good action this year with the props, and there's going to be a lot of handle going across the board on those.
So we've talked a lot about the props, of course, and we talked about the spread on this thing. What are you seeing in terms of the total?
Total's going back and forth. You know, we're right now at 56.5. We've been pretty steady there, but they're betting the over with me. It came down from 57.5 down to 56.5, but I'm going back to 57 here real soon if I take a few more limit bets.
Tony Miller with us here on Cofield and Company from the Golden Nugget. Tony, let's go back to that point you mentioned about C.J. Anderson. What do you think is going to happen in this game? Just your personal opinion between the workload of C.J. Anderson versus Gurley.
Well, you know what, Steve? I think the public and the sharps right now kind of believe that Gurley's going to play and have a big role in the game. They're betting most of his props over and the C.J. props under. That was a hard prop to, you know, to figure out what he was going to do. We had to wait until the last minute to put most of those up, and they came in, man. They're betting all the Anderson props under, like he's not going to have a big role, and all the Gurley props are going over right now. But we're seeing, when the way looks at things right now, Gurley's going to play a lot.
What do you guys have going on down at the Nugget this weekend in terms of parties and, you know, viewing spots around the casino, around the property?
We have our VIP high roller party in our main ballroom. That's a pretty big party and pretty cool. You've never seen that before. For the public, our showroom is open. We got a party up there, great food, big screens, and our Cadillac Cantina with the big ticker around the room and all the TVs in there. We're showing the game in there, and satellite bet stations all over the place. So it's a fun place to watch if you've never been downtown, all over the place.
Downtown's nuts too, and they've got the party at the event center, so that thing is just gigantic, and it's just I love downtown. I've gone downtown the last couple of years, and I'll be down there again on Super Bowl Sunday. Tony Miller's with us from the Golden Nugget. So with the props, where do you think you'll be in terms of handle at, you know, as the game goes off? Are you going to be, you know, 30-70 prop money? Is it 50-50? Like, where are the props in the overall handle?
You know, Steve, the props are getting more and more popular every year. And last year they just took off. And, you know, we've got our butt handed to us last year with the props. And the handle, I think, is going to exceed that this year. And I can tell you it's fastly coming up there with the handle as far as the game side goes with straight bets. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's 40-60 or 50-50 as far as handle goes. I'm looking at my ticker right now, and it's just moving constantly with the guys downstairs with bets coming over on the props, a lot more so than the game.
You know, we know, Tony, that your average NFL Sunday, you got to get there early to get a seat, and we know you'll have the party going on down there at the Golden Nugget. How early do you think you're going to see people start showing up on Super Bowl Sunday? Is this going to be the sort of thing where people are camping out for seats starting early in the morning?
They line up probably. We open up our book at 6 a.m., and they're probably going to be lined up at 5 a.m., and we close the night before 1 o'clock in the morning, so... we're only closed for a few hours, but yeah, they come down, they get in line, they want the prime seats, especially in the sports book in front of these big screens and everything, and absolutely, they line up early and they stay late, man. It takes all night long to cash that game out, and we won't close till after midnight Sunday night from cashing tickets.
Tony, what was your favorite cross-sport prop that you posted? You have something you really like?
Steve, we put up a few of them, and I would probably say, the NHL ones are good with the Knights, of course, but we put up a few gimmicky ones, like will the first player score in a game have the letter G or N in his name from the Golden Nugget and things like that, such a novelty things that people get a kick out of and bet on. Don't get a lot of sharp play on them, but, yeah, we throw all sorts of crazy things out there for the public to bet on. They love them, man.
Do you think there's ever going to be a day where you guys can do some of the stuff that the offshores are doing? Example, I've got one in front of me. What commercial appears first, Doritos or Pringles? Or is it just something the commission just doesn't feel like it's buttoned up enough and they don't trust it? They don't want to take the risk.
You know, Steve, that's one good thing about the state of Nevada and the sports books in the state of Nevada is our integrity. And I think our integrity is pretty sharp and second to none around the world. And, we only like to book things that happen on the field of play. And when it comes to Gatorade and songs and all that craziness with the commercials, I hope we do stay away from it. I don't want no part of it. And I think that speaks to itself as far as what we do in Nevada, as far as regulating these bets. And I'm happy with what we got and what we do.
All right, so what do you guys do in reaction as a company? Because you have Golden Nuggets in different spots around the country. What do you do in reaction to New Jersey saying, hey, you know what, we're going to open things up to Oscar betting? How do you handle that?
You know, if that day comes where our company up there does that, I think we're all going to have a say-so in it. We talk quite a bit. I talk with Jersey and I talk with Biloxi quite a bit on the things they book and they take my lead on it, and they're new to the game as far as American sports betting goes, and they know what's touchy and whatnot and what could cause controversy, and they kind of take my advice right now on what they don't do, and I hope it stays that way. I hope I have a say so in that, and it's worked out so far, man. But again, it's only year one, so we'll see what happens down the road.
Tony, I always like to close out with our viewing habits on TV, whatever, Netflix, Hulu, et cetera, at the end of the week. But I don't, at the end of the spot, I don't think you're going to be able to watch TV until, what, middle of next week?
Yeah, it's going to be a while, buddy. Why? What do you got for me?
Right? Well, I got three documentaries. I got Fire, which people are going crazy over. Abducted in Plain Sight is unbelievable. Like, even Adam Hill, who was like baseline calm dude, was freaking out today on Twitter and on text about that one. And what's the other one? Oh, you'll love this one. It's a document. It's a little bit older, right? It's on HBO, but you can find it. It's Tickled. It's not what you think it is, but the name of it is Tickled.
Okay, you know what? I'm writing these down as you're saying them, and You know me, Steve. I'll binge it, man. I'll get on it, and I'll crush right through it. Meanwhile, you got to watch a show called Dark Taurus, because if you want to see some incredible stuff, man, you got to take a peek at this.
I'll watch it. I'll talk to you, Tony. I'll see you.
All right, guys. Take care. Thank you.
There you go. Tony Miller down at the Golden Nugget. Make sure you hit the Nugget is one of the fine books around town. We certainly want you to hit William Hill Race and Sportsbook. Adam Candy's hanging out today at Hooters. You know what, guys? Can I go back for 1 second before we start the 5 o'clock hour? I got to mention this because one of the things I want to talk about in the 5 o'clock hour is Brady's legacy. And we'll address, you know, being in your ninth Super Bowl, chance to win your sixth. But that interview we just did with Brian Kinchin, who played with Brady for a handful of games the season they won the Super Bowl against the Panthers, the way that guy talked about Tom Brady, that's about all you need from a legacy standpoint. If you have guys who played with you, and we're talking numbers of like, you know, 15, 20, 25 plus guys who admire you that much, that is incredible. That's a legacy.
Yeah, no question. I mean, look no further than what he said about Dan Marino. You know, I played with some great quarterbacks, name drops Dan Marino, and, you know, no disrespect to him, but Tom Brady isn't a class unto himself. And not only was it that, it was it was, like you said, the glowing sort of adoration he had for another grown man. It speaks volume, you said it, the legacy that Tom Brady's not only going to leave on the game and the people he played with, but really just the sports world in general.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a day down the road, McKinnell, where the McKinnell hosting tree, people are going to talk about you like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure, Steve. Thank you. So flattering, Steve Cofield. So unrealistic.
I'm already feeling it. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm already feeling it. Five o'clock hours on the way, because we got the big five coming up, and we will get back into our props contest as the three of us are picking some of the, we'll call them exotic props that are out there in faraway places.